10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Save big on landscaping projects at Menards. Transform your outdoor living space with easy, no-cut block projects. From fire pits and grill stations to planters and fountains. We offer hundreds of free project plans that are easy to build with no block cutting required. Check out our huge selection of concrete landscaping block at Menards. And view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards. Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
For most of her life, Rachel never paid much attention to dreams. Like most people, she occasionally woke up remembering fragments of strange places or bizarre situations that made perfect sense while she was asleep, and none at all once she was awake. By the time she finished her morning coffee, most of them were forgotten. Dreams were simply dreams. They were products of a sleeping mind, nothing more. That was why the first dream didn't stand out. It happened on an otherwise ordinary night in early spring. In the dream, she found herself standing beside a lake she had never seen before. The water was perfectly still, reflecting the trees that lined the far shore, and everything felt oddly quiet, as though the world had been muted. A man stood several yards away near the edge of the water. She couldn't make out his face clearly because every time she tried to focus on it, the details seemed to blur. She remembered noticing that he appeared older, perhaps in his 60s, and that he wore a faded flannel shirt beneath a worn jacket. He wasn't frightening. If anything, he seemed familiar, though she couldn't explain why. The man looked at her for a few moments before turning toward the lake, and then the dream ended. The dream stayed with her longer than most, but only because it felt unusually realistic. By lunchtime, she had mostly forgotten about it and moved on with her life. 3 nights later, however, she found herself standing beside the same lake again. This time, she recognized it immediately. The same trees lined the shoreline, the same still water stretched into the distance, and the same man stood waiting near the edge of the lake. The difference was that he appeared to be expecting her. He turned almost immediately as though he had been waiting for her arrival, and for a moment she had the strange sensation that he had been standing there the entire time, between dreams. The feeling unsettled her more than she cared to admit. The man seemed to say something, but she couldn't hear him. The words sounded muffled and distant, as though he were speaking from behind a wall. She tried moving closer, convinced she could understand him if she got near enough. But before she reached him, the dream ended, and she woke up staring at her bedroom ceiling. By then, she was paying attention. The third dream arrived less than a week later, and from the moment it began, she could tell something had changed. The setting remained exactly the same, but the man seemed more urgent now. He wasn't simply waiting for her. He wanted her attention. For the first time, she could hear fragments of what he was saying. The words drifted in and out, never remaining clear long enough to understand. She spent most of the dream trying to reach him, convinced that if she could get close enough, she would finally hear what he had been trying to tell her all along. Instead, she woke up frustrated, carrying the strange feeling that she had forgotten something important moments before opening her eyes. Over the next several weeks, the dreams continued. Each one felt less like a dream and more like a return visit to a place she somehow already knew. The lake never changed. The trees never changed. The man was always there waiting for her, and every time she returned, he seemed slightly closer to delivering whatever message he was trying so desperately to communicate. She still didn't believe there was anything paranormal about the experience. Stress, anxiety, and an overactive imagination seemed far more likely explanations. Yet she couldn't ignore how different these dreams felt from anything she had experienced before. What bothered her most was the level of detail. She could smell the water. She could hear the breeze moving through the trees along the shoreline. Birds called somewhere beyond the lake, and the sunlight reflecting off the water looked so realistic that waking up often felt disorienting. More than once, she spent the first few moments after opening her eyes trying to convince herself she hadn't actually been standing beside that lake moments earlier. By the fifth dream, she could finally hear complete sentences. Most of them made little sense. The man spoke as though he already knew her. He seemed relieved whenever she appeared and increasingly frustrated whenever she woke before he finished speaking. More than once, she woke with the feeling that she had almost understood something important. The dreams were no longer frightening. If anything, they felt sad. The man carried a heaviness that seemed impossible to ignore, and even when she couldn't fully understand his words, she sensed it. He wasn't angry, and he wasn't trying to scare her. Whatever message he was struggling to deliver seemed deeply important to him, and with each passing dream, she found herself becoming more invested in understanding it. Nearly a month after the first dream, Rachel found herself sitting at her mother's kitchen table on a quiet Saturday afternoon. By then, the dreams had become such a regular part of her life that she had considered mentioning them more than once, but every time she imagined trying to explain them out loud, the entire thing sounded ridiculous. She could already picture the reaction she would get if she announced that an unknown man kept appearing beside a lake in her dreams. The conversation drifted from one topic to another until her mother casually mentioned that one of her longtime friends had been having a difficult year. Her husband had passed away unexpectedly several months earlier, and according to her mother, she was still struggling with the loss. Rachel knew exactly who she was talking about. The woman had been around for years, not as a close family friend, but as someone who occasionally appeared at holiday gatherings, graduation parties, and neighborhood events. Rachel had known her name for most of her life, though she had never spent much time with her. The conversation moved on to other things, and she didn't think much about it at the time. Later that night, however, she found herself thinking about the woman for reasons she couldn't explain. There was no obvious connection between her mother's friend and the dreams. Yet she couldn't shake the feeling that something important sat just beyond her reach. The harder she tried to identify it, the more elusive it became. When she finally fell asleep, the man was waiting beside the lake once again. This time, however, something was different. As he turned toward her, she thought she caught a clearer glimpse of his face than ever before. The details still seemed blurred around the edges, but for the first time, she felt certain she had seen him somewhere before. And that realization frightened her far more than the dreams ever had. Akel woke from the dream with her heart racing and spent several minutes staring into the darkness, trying to hold on to the details before they slipped away. The lake had been the same as always. The man had been standing in his usual place near the water's edge. Yet something had changed. For the first time, she felt certain she had seen part of his face. Not clearly enough to identify him, but enough to leave her with the uncomfortable feeling that she should know who he was. The sensation followed her throughout the next day. She found herself replaying the dream while driving to work, standing in line at the grocery store, and folding laundry that evening. The more she thought about it, the more frustrated she became. It felt as though the answer sat just beyond reach. Every time she tried to focus on the man's features, her memory seemed to blur them all over again. The next dream came only two nights later. By now, she almost expected it. The moment she found herself standing beside the lake, she looked toward the shoreline and saw him waiting. Unlike previous dreams, he immediately started walking in her direction. For the first time, she felt nervous, not because he seemed threatening, but because he seemed determined. As he approached, she could hear more of what he was saying. The words no longer faded in and out as badly as before. Most still made little sense, but she caught fragments that sounded like names, apologies, and unfinished thoughts. More than once, he repeated the same sentence, though she could never quite make out the entire thing before waking up. The pattern continued over the following week. Each dream brought a little more clarity. The man's face remained frustratingly indistinct, but his voice grew stronger. The conversations felt less like random dream imagery and more like someone struggling to get through a bad phone connection. Sometimes she woke remembering a single phrase. Other times she recalled only emotions. What remained consistent was the overwhelming feeling of regret that seemed to surround him. That was what disturbed her most. The dreams didn't feel frightening, they felt sad. Whoever this man was, he seemed burdened by something he desperately wanted to say. More importantly, he seemed relieved every time she returned. It was as though he knew she could hear him, even if she couldn't fully understand him yet. Eventually, Rachel did what she had been avoiding for weeks. She told her mother. At first, she intended to give a shortened version of the story, but once she started talking, everything came out. She described the lake, the recurring dreams, the man, and the strange feeling that he was trying to communicate something important. She expected her mother to laugh, suggest she was stressed, or remind her that dreams can be strange sometimes, and instead, her mother listened quietly. The longer Rachel talked, the more serious she became. When she finally finished, her mother sat silently for several moments before asking her to describe the man again. Rachel did her best. She mentioned the flannel shirt, the worn jacket, his approximate age, and the fact that she could never quite focus on his face. Most of the details felt insignificant until she mentioned something she had almost forgotten. The man often stood with one hand resting in his jacket pocket while speaking. It wasn't important, but it was one of the few details that never changed. Her mother's expression shifted immediately, not dramatically, just enough for Rachel to notice. When she asked what was wrong, her mother hesitated before answering. One of her closest friends had recently lost her husband, and according to her mother, he dressed almost exactly the way Rachel had described. More importantly, he had spent years standing with one hand tucked into his pocket because of an old shoulder injury that limited his movement. Rachel immediately dismissed the coincidence. Plenty of older men wore flannel shirts. Plenty of people stood with their hands in their pockets. Her mother agreed, but neither of them seemed particularly convinced by the explanation. The conversation eventually moved on to other topics, yet Rachel found herself thinking about it for the rest of the day. The next dream arrived the following night, and from the moment Rachel found herself standing beside the lake, she could tell something was different. The man was waiting much closer to the shoreline than usual, and for the first time since the dreams began, he seemed relieved to see her. Even the lake itself appeared calmer. The water reflected the sky so perfectly that the horizon almost disappeared, creating the strange sensation that they were standing between two worlds. As the man approached, Rachel focused on listening instead of trying to study his face. Over the previous week, she had become so determined to identify him that she often missed what he was trying to say. This time, she simply listened. The result startled her. For the first time, she heard a complete sentence. The words were so clear that they cut through the dream like a voice in a quiet room. You have to tell her. Rachel woke immediately. She sat upright in bed and stared into the darkness, her heart pounding. The clock beside her bed read 3:15 a.m., but sleep was no longer an option. For nearly an hour, she sat awake, replaying the dream in her mind. Of course, it had only been a dream. Every part of this had been a dream. Yet she couldn't shake the certainty that the message hadn't been intended for her. That realization unsettled her. More than anything else, up until that point, she had assumed the dreams somehow revolved around her. Perhaps they reflected stress, grief she hadn't processed, or some subconscious issue she couldn't identify. Now she wasn't so sure. The man wasn't trying to tell Rachel something about her own life. If anything, she felt like an unwilling participant in a conversation that belonged to someone else entirely. The dreams continued for another week, and each one seemed to reinforce that feeling. The man repeatedly returned to the same themes: regret, guilt, and forgiveness. He spoke as though someone had been carrying a burden for far too long, and every time Rachel woke, she was left with the impression that he was trying desperately to help someone put that burden down. Then one night, everything changed. The dream began the same way it always had. Rachel stood beside the lake while the man waited near the shoreline. Yet when he turned toward her, she realized she could finally see him more clearly than ever before. The details still weren't perfect, but enough of his face remained in focus that she no longer felt uncertain. When she woke the next morning, she sat quietly on the edge of her bed for several minutes. For the first time since the dreams began, she thought she understood exactly who the message was meant for. And for the first time, she found herself wondering whether she had the courage to deliver it. Rachel avoided the subject for 2 days. She told herself she needed time to think, but the truth was simpler than that. She was afraid. The idea of telling a grieving woman that her late husband had been appearing in dreams sounded impossible to say out loud. Even with her mother taking the dream seriously, Rachel could hardly bring herself to believe it. She kept reminding herself that dreams were strange, grief was complicated, and coincidences happened. Yet every night when she closed her eyes, she worried she would find herself back at the lake. When the dream returned, the man no longer seemed frustrated. He looked tired, as though the effort of being understood had taken something from him. This time, Rachel heard him clearly enough to understand the message he had been trying to deliver. He wanted his wife to stop blaming herself. He wanted her to know she had done everything she could, even the things no one else had seen. Most importantly, he wanted her to understand that the timing had never been hers to control. Rachel woke with tears on her face. The next morning, she called her mother and told her everything. She expected hesitation, but her mother responded with a certainty Rachel did not feel. Her mother had been watching her friend unravel beneath the weight of guilt for months. There had been questions about missed symptoms, delayed phone calls, and whether one more insistence on going to the hospital might have changed the outcome. None of that had ever been said publicly, but her mother knew enough to understand why the message mattered. They arranged to visit 2 days later. The meeting was awkward at first. Rachel's mother did most of the talking, gently explaining that Rachel had been having recurring dreams and believed they might be connected to her friend's husband. Rachel wanted to disappear into the chair beneath her. The woman listened politely, but her expression remained guarded until Rachel began describing the lake, the flannel shirt, the worn jacket, and the way the man kept one hand tucked into his pocket as he spoke. The woman's face changed before Rachel finished. By the time Rachel shared the message, tears had filled her eyes. She didn't interrupt. She didn't ask for proof. She simply listened as Rachel explained that he had seemed desperate for her to know she had not failed him. She had not missed the one thing that would have saved him. She had loved him, cared for him, argued with him when she needed to, and done everything a person could reasonably do for someone they loved. Whatever had happened in those final hours, he did not want her carrying the blame for the rest of her life. For a long moment, nobody spoke. Then the woman lowered her head and began to cry. Later, she admitted that Rachel had touched the exact wound she had hidden from almost everyone. Since her husband's death, she had replayed the final week again and again, searching for the decision that might have changed everything. She had convinced herself that if she had pushed harder or noticed something sooner, he might still be alive. The message did not erase that grief, but it reached a place ordinary reassurance had never reached. Rachel never dreamed of the lake again. That was the part she found hardest to explain afterward. The dreams didn't fade slowly or change into something else. They simply stopped. One night she was terrified to close her eyes, and the next night there was nothing. No lake, no man, no unfinished message waiting at the edge of the water. Years later, Rachel still doesn't consider herself psychic. Nothing like that ever happened again, and she has never wanted it to. She remains the same person she was before, someone who believes most dreams are simply the mind sorting through noise, but she no longer dismisses all of them quite so easily, because once, for reasons she still cannot explain, a message found her in sleep, and somehow it reached the person who needed it.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.